If you go with me to Nehemiah chapter number 2, when you get there, say amen. And I want you to go with me to about verse 12. And we'll enter the story here in verse 12. And then we'll kind of go through the book of Nehemiah somewhat this morning. And I got a great thought this morning. I really do. I'm excited about preaching. And it's a timely thought. How many believe we're living in the last days? Troublesome times. Look at verse 12. This is Nehemiah. He said, "And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool. But there was no place for the beast that I was under to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whether I went or what I did. Neither had I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them," and I want you to notice this. This makes me want to shout. "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me." Woo! "As also the king's words that he spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. And when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? And will you rebel against the king? Then I answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven," somebody say amen, "he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, no memorial in Jerusalem." I love the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah and the book of Ezra are kind of two books together. One of them deals with the rebuilding of the wall. And one of them deals with the rebuilding of the temple. And this is when they came back out of Babylon, the captivity of Babylon, and went back into Jerusalem to rebuild the city. In verses 12 through 16, I see a surveillance. And what Nehemiah was doing, he said, I'm going to go survey this place. And then once he surveyed it, he gave him a speech. And then once he gave the speech, he told him, God's great enough. Somebody help me preach. I'm going somewhere today. Ezra and Nehemiah, as they come out of Babylon, and Nehemiah had a burden on his heart. Now, there's a difference between having a burden, and we all have burdens. But I will tell you, having a burden on your heart is not a bad thing. To be honest with you, I'm burdened for our country. Be honest with you, I'm burdened for our churches in America. To be honest with you, I am very burdened for our Christian homes and the home as a whole. Somebody help me preach. Now, there's three things by way of introduction. I'm going somewhere in a moment. And I want you to stay with me. There's three things that Nehemiah observed. First of all, he observed the gates were burned and torn down. Gates, I tell you what a gate's for. It's to keep bad things out. And when Nehemiah looked at the city was ravished. It was desolate. It was broke down. And it broke his heart. And he wanted to do something about it. I want you to know something. Those gates represent protection. God's providence. God's blessings. But they were torn down. I want to say this, and I'm not going to apologize for this, but we got a lot of gates that's been torn down in this world. I'm going to name about three of them before I go very far. I'll tell you one, the gates of this country has been torn down. I want to be honest with you. This country we live in is not the country that I was raised in. And I'm not being political this morning, but I am going to hit this. I was ashamed of the President of the United States getting up and isolating 50% of the population. That was a time that liberals and conservatives and those in between, they disagreed, but they didn't hate each other. We're living in the most divisive time. We need a world leader that would bring people together instead of separating people. But I tell you what's happened. The walls, the gates, we've let it all come into our country. We've let socialism come into our country. Somebody help me preach. We don't even know how to divide a marriage this morning. We don't even know gender lines this morning. Somebody help me preach. Some of you kids are going to face this in high school. Some of you are going to face it even in an elementary school. Defining your gender. I want to tell you, if you're a girl, you're a girl. You're a man, you're a man, and there is a difference. But ladies and gentlemen, the gates have been torn down. I'll tell you, there's some more gates I'm going to preach on. The gates of the church have been torn down. We're just about allowed everything anymore. I want to tell a bunch of Reformed Calvinists, you're not welcome here. Somebody help me preach. I'll tell a bunch of contemporary, long-haired hippie, wouldn't say boo to the devil. You're not. This ain't your place. Well, good preacher, Reverend. I'll tell you what's happened. The church has lost its salt. We've lost our light. The gates are burned down. I'm glad I'm preaching this morning. I'm still standing on the same book. I'm still trusting in the same blood. And I'm still looking for the great blessed hope and soon appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus. Help me. By the way, the homes broke down. We don't even know how to divide a marriage. Last I checked, it's one man for one woman. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You said, boy, you're going to be controversial this morning. It's Sunday morning. You ought to be a little bit more dignified. I feel like telling you that everything's a mess. And secondly, I want you to notice in verse 19, not only do I see the gates burn, I'm going somewhere. This is just introduction. It's going to get sweet here in a minute. But also, there was the gloating of the enemy. Do you know there's a lot of people laugh at us? Why do y'all go to church? Why do you pay tithe? Why do you serve God? And they mock us. This country is more anti-Christian and somebody help me preach, than it's ever been before. And the walls has been burned. And there's a bunch of people gloating. They brag about their filthy lifestyle. They brag about their filthiness and their attitude toward humanity. Somebody help me preach. In other words, we're in a mess. But I'm going somewhere. Just people gloat. Just make fun and mock. Hey, by the way, their day's coming. Then also, he saw that the work was great. I tell you what, I'm starting my 45th year today, and the work is great. Hey, we need workers, not shirkers. Somebody help me preach. We need some people to get in the battle. We need some people to get by the plow. We need some people that they'll clean up the rubbish, that'll get right with God. Somebody help me. Amen. Then here's the message. That wasn't the message, actually. Here's what he's saying. Everything's a mess. How many of y'all agree with me? Everything's out of kilter. It's not a Democrat problem or a Republican problem. It has to do with our relationship with God. And I've never been so ashamed of some of the stuff that's going on in my life and going on in this country. But I've got to tell you something. Here's the message. That's not the message. Everything's a mess. But look at verse number 18. Would y'all look at it? Here's the message. I'm about ready to shout. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Here's what he said to them. He said, it's all a mess. The gates are burned. They're gloating. The work's great. But I want to tell all you this. Even though it's all a mess, and even though it's all just upside down, I want to raise my hand and tell you this morning, my God, He's still good. Even though everything's in a rubbish and everything you see is deteriorating, but can I tell you this morning, despite it all, my God is still good. And the truth is still marching on. And there's a God in heaven that's high, lifted up. And I want you to know, He's good. I want y'all to know something. I woke up this morning and I got some food in my belly. I got clothes on my back. I got money in my pocket. I got a shout in my voice. I got a clap in my hand. Somebody help me preach. I'm stirred this morning. I know it's bad. I know things are bad. But I want to tell you, I'm stirred this morning because my God is still good. Woo! It's a mess. But I want to tell you, I've heard this replicated hundreds of times. People get up and say, I've seen Obama get up and say, everything in my family is a mess. But God's been good. I know folks that's got cancer and sickness. Oh, you might be in a mess this morning, but can I tell you, can I wave at you and say, my God is good. Woo! Well, glory. Daddy, you may be laid off. You may be going through a good, hard time. And I know we're facing all these problems in our land. And the gates are burned. And there's gloating. And there's a mess. But can I tell you, the hand of God is still God. Now, here's the message, actually. You said, what was all that? Get you prepped. Preacher Smith, why did Nehemiah in these two chapters think that God was so good? I'm glad you asked me. First of all, because of the captivity that was behind them. Look at chapter number 1. He talked about, by the way, Nehemiah, during the captivity, Chad had it kind of good. Because he was a cupbearer to the king. But once he saw in verse number 3, and look at verse 2. Then Hanani, one of my brethren, came, chapter 1, to me and certain men of the Judah. And I asked him concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity and concerning Jerusalem. And he said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. I tell you what happened. He was broken. Hear me. He was broken because of judgment. I want to tell you why. Listen to me, that was the day John Smith. I still believe in this, by the way. Young people, I believe in this. I still believe before you get saved, you got to get broken down in your sin and see that judgment's hanging over your head. And without the mercy of God, you're hell bound with a hammer down. But I'm thankful there was a day in my life that I was broken, that I was a mess. And I came to Jesus on the basis of my brokenness and realizing I was hell bound and repented of my sin and trusted Him. I'll tell you what else he came on. I saw this, and I'm not doing damage to Scripture. Actually, I'm doing real good. But hear me. Look at chapter 2. It says that Nehemiah came before the king and presented him wine or the fruit of the vine. You say, what's that a picture of? That's a picture of the blood. And by the way, if we're going to enter into the king, we got to realize we're broken and undone and on our way to hell, but we got to come on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ. And what sets us free is the blood. Not eating a wafer, not being baptized with water, not joining a church, but what gets us in favor with the king is the wine or the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that is shed on Calvary's cross. I want to tell you why I think he's good. My captivity is behind me. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. The outlook is bright. Somebody help me. Woo! Think about this, Ray. Everything I used to be, it's gone. I'm changed. I'm not bound by sin anymore. I'm not in shackles anymore. I'm not without God and without hope. No, the middle wall partition has been broken down. And I came in by the blood of Christ. And he made us both one. Somebody help me. Whew. I know it's a mess. Some of you live in a mess. But I want you to know, even in your mess, God is good. Look at verse number 9 in chapter 2. Not only, oh Chad, I can't hardly stand myself right now. Not only because the captivity is behind me, but also because my companions are beside me. I tell you what the king done. Look at verse number 9. Then I came to the governor beyond the rivers and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what the king done? Oh, this is good. He sent some companions with Nehemiah. I want y'all to know something. January 31st, 1973, I got saved. Look here. And I got infilled by the Holy Ghost of God. Somebody help me. I'm not in this alone. I'm near it. God gave me the Holy Spirit. God gave me peace. God gave me love. God gave me mercy. Hey, they're all companions. But he not only did give us all the spiritual companions, but he also gave us physical companions. He said, I had a few men with me. I want you to know something. I did a little reminiscing. And I started thinking about the people that had stood with this preacher for 44 years. They ain't jumped off ship just because they disagreed with something. is it that first time you disagree with something, you're ready to jump ship? I mean, man, one thing you don't like, ready to jump ship. I'm glad that Nehemiah said I had a pew bit. I was thinking this morning, and he may be listening. Sean O'Brien texted me every Sunday morning and said, I'm praying for you. And I want you to stay stirred. I want to tell him and I'm going to tell you, you're looking at 170-year-old man that is stirred down to his boots this morning, because I'm not in this alone. I got some companions that's walking beside of me. I got the Holy Spirit in me. I got some other preachers with me. And hey, by the way, not every preacher's sold out. Not every preacher's bad. There's still a group of men that still love God. And by the way, why do we fight with people that preach the same thing we do? Just because maybe they do one thing different than this, that. Hello. We're so eat up with personalities. Just because a guy might not do it exactly the way I do it, that don't mean they're wrong. Or I'm always right. That just means we just don't do it the same way. Hey, there's some preachers in this country that still hadn't left. They're still doing, not very many. They're few and far between. And I try to gather where they are. Amen. I'm hopping on a plane. I'm a nervous wreck. You nervous? September 17th, we're hopping on a plane. Pray for me. I'm going to California to a leadership conference of some people that are of like mind, that haven't give up the stuff. They still believe in the same book. They still believe in the truth. Amen! I'm going. I got, man, Shaylin, are you back here? Is that you, Shaylin? Yeah. You know, I want to compliment you. I don't want to embarrass you, okay? Honest God, I ain't embarrassing you. Last Sunday, you was taking notes of my message. You probably are this morning. Now, y'all say that don't mean what? That look, 16, sitting on the front row taking notes of my message last week. I said, there's some old people here don't even know what I'm preaching. I want y'all to know something. You young people, you're an encouragement to me. Don't you let the devil get you. Hey, I want you to know you got a friend in this pastor. This pastor standing by. Parents, I want you to know I'm glad you're raising your kids right. Thank God. Hey, they still taking notes. They still carry the right Bible. They still love God. Hey, there's still a few doing them right. Somebody, you ought to give a hand clap to your kids and to the people that are still going right for God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You're seeing you're preaching pretty strong this morning. I meant to. Amen. I want to show y'all something. Will y'all do me a favor? Just for a second. Will you jump for a minute? I want to bring this point out. I'm almost done. But I want you to see this. Go over to chapter 3 and verse 12. I'm talking about companions. This, I can't pronounce these names, but this is awesome. Now, from chapter 3 on, they're talking about building the walls back and those that took part in doing it. And next unto him repaired Shallum, the son of Haloish, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. Listen to this. He and what? His daughters. You want to know what melts me? You really want to know what's melting me? Is when a man and a woman come in church and they got their youngins with them. And those youngins are serving God.
Yeah.
I don't know if my daughter is here. You here, honey? I love my son. He's not doing well. Y'all pray for James. He's had a Well, he just had a lot of physical problems. But my daughter's here, and y'all don't know the history. She was 2 years old when she came here. And I didn't have a sister pastor. But you know who my sister pastor was? Her. I took her everywhere. I took her to hospitals. She wasn't allowed, but I took her anyway. Who could turn around a little smiling, looking blonde like her? She went with her daddy. She thought the sun rose and the sun set on her daddy. And she loved me. She helped me. Ain't nothing better than having your family in church and having everybody right with God. Somebody help. Ain't nothing better than having your family this morning serving God. Hey. It's wonderful. God's been good to me. I look back and see her. I see my little 10-year-old granddaughter. That little red-headed thing. I love her. They're better than kids. Woo! And why do we murmur? And why do we complain? Then lastly, I'll preach this one down here. You know what else? He was happy because the captivity was behind him. He was happy. Are you with me? He had companions beside of me. But that ain't all. Do you know what the king done for him when he left? He wrote him a bunch of letters. Bunch of letters. And here's what them letters done. When he came into the enemy's place or into a town, and they start questioning who he was, he showed them the letters. And by the way, number three, God's good because of the commandments that he's given us that blesses me. When I need help, I just look in the letter. When I need mercy, I just show the letter. When I need a companion, I just show the letter. Hey, I actually got 66 letters in this book that are love letters from Almighty God that tells me that God, where did I get this thing? That God loves me. Woo! Am I preaching all right this morning? You got your Bible with you. Amen. He gave me a letter. That letter tells me I can know I'm saved. That letter tells me what my past is behind me. And I've got a bright future. Even though the whole world's a mess, my future's bright. The outlook may be dark, but the outlook is bright. Amen. It's because I got the letters. Hey, I want you to know you can face everything in school if you take that Bible with you. Put one in your pocketbook. School can't tell you anything. They can't stop you from having a Bible. Amen. If they try, tell them, come see me. Amen. I'm glad I got the letters. Amen. Woo! Woo! I mean, listen. Amen. Captivity's behind me. I got a company beside of me. And now the commandments that bless me. Dear God, have mercy. All I have to do is show the world. Here's the letter.
Yeah,
amen. Why have you sold your life out writing little tracts with a letter on it? Your whole life's about the letter.
Yeah.
Oh, you are? Yeah. I'd have hit the man that has a bad heart like me. How many knows God loved this morning? I know everything's a mess. I know everything's broke down. I know every institution has went to hell in a handbasket. But even that fat brother Zach gave me five. God is good to me. I want to ask a question. How many of you are living like he's good? And I want to ask you a question. How many of you still in captivity to your sin and you've never been saved? It's time to get right with God.